CNO Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the Word. Come on, let's go.
To be called the children of God simply by believing that what he did to save us. I tell you, there's nobody created like us. He wanted us when he created us to have dominion. He said, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. And let them have, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God created us to have dominion, not to be under the circumstances, but to be over the circumstances. Satan's job is to distort the image that God created you to be, to change your image into something less, therefore forgetting who you really are and causing you to aspire to be something that God never created you to be. It will cause you to forfeit your birthright. It will cause you to forfeit your birthright. Romans 6:16. It says, what? He said, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant ye are to whom you obey, whether to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Listen, when you yield yourself to somebody else's voice, they have the authority over you. When Satan convinced Adam and Eve to trust his word above the word of God, they transferred all of their authority over to Satan. And Satan became the god of this world. And he took authority and dominion. And because of that sin, death passed on all mankind. But thanks be unto God that ye were servants, the servant of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Why? Because you believed. You believe God's word. You trusted in the salvation of your Savior, Jesus Christ. You obeyed that doctrine, obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. That means if you obey it, it's because you believe it. Genesis chapter 3, it talks about how that serpent tricked them. But like I said, they gave up their authority the moment that they yielded to the voice of Satan. We do it today. Same thing. The Bible said Jesus himself bore our sicknesses and diseases in his own body, and with his stripes we are healed. But the doctor tells us that we're going to die. We're sick. This is incurable. All right. Doc, I know to your knowledge and to the best of your educational ability, I know you're on the practice in medicine, but I understand right now that's the wall that you've hit. You know, it's going past your ability. But I know someone who created all things, including this body, and he said that by a stripe, I am healed. And see, we have to understand how important it is that our confession, that when we make that confession in the face of negative statements, even though they may have the facts, even though they may be producing evidence, but it doesn't line up with the truth of God's word. You got to hold to the truth regardless of what you feel or what they say or what they even show you. You have to let God be true. Because see, the Bible said over in Hebrews that the world was fitly framed together by the word of God. So things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. See, God's word is his creative force. See, God created you and I in his image and in his likeness. When Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and he told God, he said, God, show me your glory. God said, Moses, you cannot see my face. The question or the request was, show me your glory. The reply was, you can't see my face. So he took Moses and he put him in a cleft of the rock. He said, you can't see my face, but you'll see my back parts as I walk by. And really, you'll see my backlog is what he told him. Because he gave Moses the first five books, the Pentateuch of the Bible. Moses wasn't there, but God gave him his backlog. It gave him the history from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses wrote all that. But he said, you can't see my face. Now, what is the most powerful thing on the face of God? Is it his eyes? His nose? His ears? No. It's his mouth. Because out of his mouth proceeds the power of the creative force of God. I heard one pastor say, out of the mouth is the spout where the glory of God comes out. That's where the glory of God will proceed from. And so we're created in his image and in his likeness. And this is why we got to be careful of the words that we allow to proceed out of our mouth and what we connect the I am to. Moses said, listen, you want me to go to deliver these folk, the hard-headed Egyptians, and they're going to ask, say, who are you and who sent you and why are you here? They're going to know your name. What's your name? God said, tell them I am has sent you. And this name I am will be a memorial unto them forever. What is the name of God? Some say Jehovah, some say Yahweh. Some they got names for God, but God said, my name will be I am as a memorial to them forever. And so when we're saying I am, we're putting a name of God on what we say. So what are we bringing God into? What situation? God said, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. So if we're going to put God's name on it, make sure you're saying something good that God said already about yourself. Don't be talking about I am sick. God said, I ain't with that. Now you can become sick by saying that, but I'm not with that. You'll have whatsoever you say. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But if you want to be healed, start saying what I said about you. I am healed. I am rich. I am successful. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things. Start confessing what God says about you, and it'll change that negative situation to line up with the promises of God, which are true for you if you believe. But you got to believe. Belief is so important with God. Abraham believed God, and it was accredited unto him for righteousness. Because he believed God, God laid it to his account. Now, Abraham didn't make God any promises. So it was nothing God had to believe Abraham about. God made every promise to Abraham. Abraham just listened to believe, and for a while he didn't even believe that. He said, hold on, wait a minute. How I know that you're going to do everything that you've been saying? You've been making me promises down through the years. How I am. I'm getting kind of old now. I don't see nothing happen. How I know that your word is good? How do I know? Considering the servant of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And I ain't got no seed. You talk about seed. How I know? God said, come on, let me cut a covenant with you. God caused a deep sleep to come. First he went on deep sleep. He said, first go get a heifer and a ram and a she-goat and a pigeon and a turtle dove. Cut them in half, lay them out. And it became a pool of blood. And God made a blood covenant with Abraham that night. And every promise that God made, Abraham was asleep. He didn't have no rebuttal. He had nothing to promise God. But he believed God. And through that time, God even showed him everything that he was going to do with his own son. How he was going to take his own son and crucify him. This is why Abraham was able to take Isaac up to the mountain and ready to sacrifice his son, because he had received in the figure God even raising him from the dead. Where did he get that from? When he was in that covenant, God, the Bible said that the gospel was preached unto Abraham. So Abraham had a revelation of God's ability and what God would do, and he had to know that he had to obey God in everything that God says. See, the promise has got to be believed and it's got to be trusted. He had to trust that what God said, he was able to also to perform. And he said, listen, if I got to kill him, you're going to have to raise him up because you already made promise to me. And when he drew back the knife, God, the angel said, don't do him no harm, because now I know. Now I know that you love God, because you have not, in other words, you believe God, because you have not withheld your only son from me. But in that covenant promise, God said, what you were willing to do, I'm going to do and take it a step further. I am going to sacrifice my son. And when John saw Jesus coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. That was a sacrifice that was acceptable. That was the one who tied the other end of the covenant together to make the covenant of God come past. Now, the Bible says that we are of the children of Abraham by faith. The Bible says Abraham believed God. And if you be Abraham's seed, then you're also heirs according to the promise. So we've been made fellow heirs and joint heirs with Abraham. When God created man, he made man to identify with himself. Man wanted to know what God looked like. All he got to do is look in the mirror, look in a pool of water. He can see God because God created man in his own image. The fall happened when man lost his self-identity. If you forget who you are, you'll start going back to the beggarly elements of the world. You'll start acting like you're not a child of God. He lost his identity and began to let someone else define his identity. How many times did we do that since we were rung over here as slaves? That people, we lost our identity. They cut the tongue out of the elders so they couldn't tell the history. And then they called us everything but a child of God. Name was become a proverb and a byword. They call us everything that they can think of except for who we are. And then we begin to identify with the titles that they put on us. And even today, our young men go around calling each other derogatory names because that's what they've heard. They've been conditioned. And the ones who condition them is laughing. But you are God's offspring. You are God's chosen people. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You were born again. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher. Come from God, because no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus would only cut to the chase and say, verily, verily, I say unto you, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, you can't even believe God's word until you are filled with the Spirit of God. It takes the being born again to receive the Spirit of God. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is a second birth that takes place in your life. Now you're able to receive that engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul, that word of salvation that comes. He said, Peter said, being born again, not a corruptible seed. What was the seed? The seed is the word of God. How did the word get implanted? Faith come by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You got to be the one who sowed a seed in somebody's life concerning the word of reconciliation, the message of salvation, and that person can be born again. And then when he's born again, the eyes of his understanding will be enlightened. And now the entrance of God's word will bring that light that will dispel the darkness in his life. And now he can cry out and say, what must I do to be saved? And when he accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, the Bible said, now he is born again. John 6:63, it says, it is the spirit that quickens or make alive. The flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And when we speak that word, and that word is implanted into their heart, that word is believed. The belief brings the conception. When you speak that word, and they believe. Now, they had the capacity to believe because the Bible said God has given unto every man the measure of faith. Now, that bag of faith is neither positive nor negative. It's what you do with it to determine what it is. But you have the capacity to believe or to doubt. But if you choose to believe, that word will manifest in your life. It will germinate. It will produce the fruit that you need in order for you to receive salvation, the free gift of salvation. But it's the spirit that makes alive or that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, when they do a paternity test, it's not to try to see who the mother is. It's trying to see who the father is. And they check the DNA. And you know, if your DNA matched, that's your son. Well, when you're born again in the blood of Jesus, you get a DNA transfer. Your DNA now is the DNA of Jesus. He is your father. The Pharisees who never accepted Jesus, Jesus told them, say, you of your father, the devil. You got the Jewish fractions that have not accepted Jesus Christ, and there's only one way for a man to be saved. It's not by you being born as a Jew. It's by you accepting Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that was made in your place, whether you be Jew or Gentile. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, whether you be Jew or Gentile, you are lost in your sin. And that's the truth. People don't want to hear that, but that's the truth anyhow. This is why Jesus is called the Son of God, born without sin, because God was his father. Mary was his earthly mother. But you are determined by the blood of your father. This is why they do a DNA paternity DNA test to determine who the father is. And then you have to ask people when they're acting up, somebody they're saved, you have to say, wait a minute, who's your daddy? Because your behavior is like your other, you don't behave like your heavenly father. So who's your daddy? I hear what you're saying, but we need to do a DNA test. We need to find out. John 10. Chapter 30, Jesus made this confession. He said, I and my father are one. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered and said, many good works have I shown you from my father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Because thou being a man, makest thyself God. Oh man, that sounds so incriminating. Oh man, blasphemy. You made yourself God. Hold on, wait a minute. Jesus, if God is my father, Jesus told me to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says in his word that he only speaks the things that the Father has told him to speak. And so if he's speaking like his father and acting like his father, then how come he can't be like his father? If God, if he's a God, so is his father. His father, God, he's a God too. And so what the devil wants to do is to shame you out of your birthright. You ain't no God. Wait a minute. It does not yet appear what I shall be. Right now, I know I'm in this flesh walking around. But I know who my daddy is. And I was created in his image and in his likeness. And he has given unto me his divine nature. So therefore, although you may, it may not be what I look like. The Bible says over in 1 John chapter 3, it says, beloved, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the Bible says over in Psalms, it says, over in that same one, he said, every man that has this hope in him will purify himself even as he is pure. And the psalmist tells us that I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. We're going to be just like him. And so the enemy wants you to deny. Why? Because if you ever realize who you are, you're going to wreak havoc in his kingdom. And he knows that. Jesus answered him, saying, for many good works. Jews answered and said to him, for good works we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man maketh thyself God. Then Jesus did the rebuttal, verse 34. Jesus answered him, is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? And then he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, the scripture cannot be broken. You know, we spend so much time teaching people how to control their little emotions. When you're feeling down, you're feeling sick, you know, you're just feeling depressed, you know, have a happy, happy, feel good, joy day. We never identify people who they are so they can straighten up their back, lift up their heads, and really become the children of the Most High God, like God has called us to be about our Father's business. No, we just deal with the superficial issues. We can't get past rejection. We can't get past unforgiveness. Come on, we got to be way beyond that by now. We need to be a place where we're delivering the bound, letting the oppressed go free, that we're destroying every yoke, that we're casting out devils, we're laying hands on the sick, we're decreeing things that's established, we're seeing creative miracles like Jesus fed the 5,000. We need to be like our Father's business because Jesus said the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I have gone to my Father. Psalms 82 and 1. God talks about us. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Then he asks us this question. Here we are, the children of the Most High God, but we ain't doing what we're supposed to do. Listen to what he says, verse 2. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? See, how long are you going to keep on submitting yourself to the wicked people, and you can't even judge righteous judgment in your own eyesight. What's, how long are you going to be doing that? He tells us what to do. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hands of the wicked. We're supposed to be the deliverers. We're supposed to be delivering the bound. We're supposed to be letting people free. Those that are oppressed, we're supposed to be letting them out of the oppression. But we're doing everything but that. Well, you know, I don't want to get involved. Then he looks at us, God shakes his head. Verse 5. They know not. Neither will they understand. Talking about us, who's supposed to be his children. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Why? Because we're not taking, remember I said in the beginning, the welfare of the world is in the hands of the church. And because we're not positioning ourselves in the spiritual realm like we ought to occupy until he comes, the enemy has been running roughshod because of a lack of identity or identity crisis as to who we are in God and the ability that God has invested in us when he gave us the authority to use his name. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said ye are gods. But ye are, and ye are all the children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. You're going to die like regular folk because you don't know who you are. You'll die from sickness and disease, poverty and lack, because you don't know the promises of God. You're not believing the promises of God. You're letting somebody else have the spiritual authority of your life that's not supposed to. Governments cannot supersede the word of God. Doesn't matter what government is in office, who's in charge. You cannot submit yourself to something that is contrary to the will of God. Now, we're not in defiance of going out breaking rules, but when it comes down to the things that are contrary to God's word, let God be true. Paul said, it's better to obey God than to obey man. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So God had to do it himself. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. When you're not certain of who you are, people can imprint false labels or identities that will cause you to think and behave according to what they believe about you. What you believe about yourself is the most important thing. It's not what others think about you, but about what you think about yourself. Jesus came to restore your lost identity and to demonstrate what is possible when you truly know who you are in God and who God is in you. In his image and in his likeness, Jesus came as a prototype. He came to show you what we could do right here in this life, right now. as born again believers. He's given us that authority. And he came to demonstrate what was possible as a believer, not when you die sweet by and by and when you get to heaven. No, no, you need this down here on earth. You need this right now. You get to heaven, everything is all right. You don't get to heaven, you only got two things to worry about. St. John chapter 14, verse 12 says, verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth, here's his word again, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. These are promises that Jesus made. This ain't just some narrative we read in a storybook. This is actual, factual truth. Don't let your haters stop you from being and doing and having all the goodness that the Father wants you to have. Don't let your haters stop you. Man, when you believe in God for that $4.5 million building and you ain't got but three people in your congregation and ain't got but 2 cents to rub together in your pocket, how you gonna believe? How you gonna believe God for that? God said, whatever I ask the Father in my name, believe it. He'll do it. And I've been believing, I've been confessing, I stand on the promises of God, and it's just a matter of time. And time is about over. The Bible said there's seed, there's time, but then there's harvest. We're at harvest time, y'all. We are at the harvest time. Amen. So get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. God's about to do something extraordinary. God's about to blow your mind. Matter of fact, Isaiah chapter 43 and 19, it says, behold, I will do a new thing now. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, I had to put a little emphasis on that now because it said, behold, I will do a new thing, and it got a semicolon behind it. And it says, now it shall spring forth. So we got to get into that now mindset. See, we keep putting everything way off. Mm-mm. See, it's already done. See, things manifest in the spirit the moment that you believe God for. The enemy tries to hold back the manifestation of the natural to get you to cancel it out, to get you to doubt, to get you to give up on it and cave up on it and quit. But the Bible said through faith and patience, you will inherit the promise. It's an inheritance. It's yours. It belongs to you. You will inherit the promise. You got to be willing to stand your ground. You got to be willing not to give up, cave in, or quit. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long you've been doing it. You stand on the promises of God and watch God comes through. And sometimes we'll be leaving God for some big stuff. And it's going to take some big faith to walk through it.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Experience resurrection life.
The kingdom of God is an instrument, and it dictates a time, place, and position within you, which reflects the dominion that God has given you.
No more church as usual. Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Visit us in person at 405 Exoria Avenue in Fort Pierce or online at trbanks.com.